Morning, church. You look amazing. just a bit biased there, which is a good thing, right? Yeah. Well, I've really enjoyed this series on the life of Jesus. It's been a real blessing, hasn't it? And I get to bookend it this morning with the finished work of Jesus. And, you know, it's much more than missing hell and making heaven. It's just so much more than missing hell and making heaven. And we've heard some wonderful stuff on the life of Jesus so far. And, you know, when Jesus came, we heard about his lessons. We heard about things that Jesus said, what he came to show us. He came to show us the Father. And I love that scripture where, I think it was Philip said, show us the Father. And Jesus said, he who has seen me has seen the Father. And that's an incredible thing that Hebrews tells us. He is the express image of God and the exact representation of his nature. So you can take it to the bank that if you don't see Jesus doing it, it's not God. Whatever God would do, whatever he will do in our lives, in the planet, we would see Jesus doing it. He came to demonstrate who God is, to reveal him so that we could see what God is like, because there's been a lot of confusion, hasn't there, over the years. But then we see in John 10:10, where Jesus said, the thief comes to steal, to kill and destroy, but I've come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. So again, you see the great dividing line between what Jesus will do and what God will do. It's very clear. If it's stealing, killing and destroying, it's the devil. If it's bringing life and more life and abundant life to overflowing, then it's Jesus. And there's a divide there. There's a line in the sand. And then, you know, in 1 John chapter 3, verse 8, the Apostle John writes, for this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. So there's a devil and there's works. He has works. And Jesus was manifested to destroy the works of the devil. He was manifested to get back what Adam lost. He lost the sovereignty, the right to rule, the authority in the earth that he had been blessed with by God when he was created. And he gave it up. And from that time, the earth has struggled. All of creation has struggled. People have struggled. And the devil has been stealing, killing, and destroying. He came in, and with him came the curse. When Adam opened the door, in came Satan, and in came the curse. And Jesus came to get back what Adam had lost. Absolute authority and absolute sovereignty, right? So we've been learning about the life of Jesus and what he has displayed to us. And this morning we're going to talk about his finished work. So there was sort of stages in the life of Jesus. When he went into the upper room just before he went to the cross in John chapter 17, he was praying and he said, I've finished the work you gave me to do. He said, I've manifested your name. to those who you gave me. And I've kept them, and not one of them has been lost except the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And so he said he had finished the work God gave him to do, and that was his life and ministry on earth. He had completed it. He had finished it. But then there was his death on the cross and his resurrection, which we're going to talk about today. And his death on the cross as the Lamb of God. Remember John the Baptist, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." And he came to fulfill that mission. And then we talk about his resurrection after defeating the devil in hell. You know, I want to go to the cross this morning and talk about the last thing that Jesus said. We know that, you know, it all started with the Last Supper in the upper room. And then Jesus said, "My soul is exceedingly troubled. But shall I say, Father, save me from this hour? But for this purpose I came to this hour." So he was right on purpose all the time. This was his mission. This is why he came. He came to show us God. He came to heal the sick. He came to preach the gospel. He came to teach the word to people. Preaching, teaching, and healing was his ministry in his life. And he fulfilled that. And now we come to the next stage where Jesus has instituted the Last Supper. And then he goes out into the Garden of Gethsemane and fights that battle for the weakness of man's will and won. To the extent where he was sweating drops of blood because of the immense stress on his body, knowing what he knew was coming. And not only that, but feeling the weight of the sin and the weight of the sickness that he was bearing for the world. And, you know, whenever I'm having a battle with my will, I go to Gethsemane. And I remember that Jesus won the battle of wills. And I take it. He won that battle for me. Amen. Hallelujah. And then we know he was beaten, and we know the word tells us by his stripes he was healed. We know that he bore every sickness and every disease that has ever been, that will ever be. He bore the curse, as we read in Deuteronomy 28:61. He bore every sickness and every disease that ever has been, that ever will be, that's recorded in the Word of God, and everything that's not recorded in the Word of God. I mean, that's an all, isn't it? That's an all. He bore it all. And, you know, when he went to the cross, he was bearing not just the sickness and disease of mankind, but he was bearing the sins of the whole earth, every person. And his visage was marred more than any man, Isaiah says. He wasn't even recognizable as a human being. It wasn't just a Roman beating, people. He was bearing the sins of the world, and he was not recognizable. His visage was marred more than any man, and it was shocking to behold what sin and disease did to Jesus. And as he hung on that cross, the last thing he said was "Tetelestai." It is finished. It's a Greek word, "Tetelestai." Say it, "Tetelestai." That's a word to get your head around. Three words in English. It is finished. It's a Greek word. It means to bring to completion or conclusion, to complete, to accomplish, to fulfill, or to finish. It means a thing that has reached perfection. When you imagine what Jesus looked like, it's hard to believe that that was a thing that had reached perfection. But tetelestai was Jesus' exclamation that he had finished the work the Father gave him to do. He was finished. It was like he said, I've done exactly what you gave me to do. The mission is now accomplished. And tetelestai is a word that had several usages back in those times. It was used in the Old Covenant. It's the Greek equivalent of the Hebrew word that the high priest would say when he went into the Holy of Holies once a year and sprinkled the blood of a spotless sacrificial lamb, a lamb without spot and blemish. And he would go in there, and as he sprinkled that blood on the Ark of the Covenant in the Holy of Holies, on the mercy seat, he would say, it is finished. And it would the sins of the people would be atoned for another year. Until the next year, he had to go in there and do it again. Because we know the blood of animals can never take away sin. But it was all pointing to the sinless, spotless Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, who takes away the sin of the world. And now, when Jesus was hanging on that cross and he said, tetelestai, it was the final sacrifice that was hanging on that cross. And it was put there by the priesthood. It was a legal sacrifice. It was the high priest who put him there. The Lamb of God was shedding his blood, put there by the high priest. It was legal under the old covenant for the sins of the world. And when he had said, tetelestai, he was declaring the end of sacrifices. The perfect sacrifice had now been made and the old covenant had come to a close. It is finished. There'll be no more sacrifice for sins. Hebrews tells us that after making one offering for sin, he sat down forever at the right hand of God. The perfect sacrifice had now been made and the old covenant had come to a close. The Lamb of God took away the sins of the world. And tetelestai is also used in those days in business to declare full payment of a debt. So the parchment with the terms of the debt recorded on it, at the end, when it was fully paid, it was stamped, tetelestai. It is finished. It was stamped, paid in full. And Colossians 2:14 says that having cancelled out the certificate of debt that was hostile to us, the certificate of debt consisting of decrees that were hostile to us, he took it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. You see, God took that certificate of decrees that was against each one of us, and he nailed it on the cross. When Jesus was nailed to that cross, your certificate of debt was nailed there. Mine was nailed there. Nailed to the cross. So that now, in the courtroom of heaven, because you remember, Satan had access. In the book of Job, it tells you how he would come in before God. The book of Job was the first book of the Bible ever written. It was before the law. It was before any of what we live in had taken place. And Satan used to appear before God and accuse. And accuse, go in and have this discussion with God. And in the courtroom of heaven, you see, there was a certificate of decrees against. And the Bible says it was hostile to us. That was the certificate of the debt that we owed, the sins that hadn't been paid for. And it was there in the file. Well, if you go looking for it now in the courtroom of heaven, it's not there. It's been taken out of the way and nailed to the cross, and he wiped it clean, vanishing ink. The blood of Jesus has wiped that clean so that there is no more debt. There is no more debt against you. Think about that. There is no more debt against you. There's nothing from your past. God doesn't even remember it. So don't go bringing it up, because he don't remember that. He's like, what are you talking about? The blood of Jesus has paid that price. And when we call Jesus Lord and accept his sacrifice, that certificate of debt is wiped out. We are permanently freed from any obligation to anything that happened in the past. In fact, the Bible calls us a new creature. That person died. I don't know where you died, but I died in my kitchen in a little flat that I lived in Cape Town, South Africa. I died. And you died somewhere. And in that moment, I was born again and became a new creation. And so did you. And it's good to look back at that moment and remember, anything happened before that, that person's dead. When you're dead, you're free. Amen. Hallelujah. Yeah. Tetelestai was used in the justice system. These are amazing truths about what Jesus cried out and about what he achieved. In the justice system, a prisoner would be put in his cell, and if his sentence was 15 years, it would be written on parchment. This man is serving this sentence of 15 years, and it would be nailed to his cell door. And when he had served his sentence, it would be stamped, paid in full. And you can't be tried twice for the same crime, right? So Romans 8, chapter 1 says, there is now, no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. And that is a lie from the devil, that he will come to try and get believers, particularly young believers, to surrender their peace, to surrender their joy, to carry a false sense of guilt and condemnation. There is no condemnation. The devil will try and condemn you, and you can condemn yourself, but heaven has no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. The debt's been paid. It's been paid. Hallelujah. It was used in a military context, and it meant battle won. Battle won. Tetelestai, battle won. And these things, when Jesus was hanging on the cross and he was crying out, Tetelestai, all of these things were implicated in those words. He was winning the battle on our behalf, and he had won it. It's the last thing he said before he gave up his spirit and went to hell for 3 days to deal with the devil in hell. In classical Greek times, Tetelestai depicted a turning point where one period ended and another period began. And when Jesus said, "It is finished," it was a turning point. The cross became the great divide in history, didn't it? What's the date today again? 2025, in the year of our Lord. The cross is the great divide in human history. Tetelestai, paid in full. No more sacrifice for sins. It was finished. The last sacrifice had been paid. And you know, when Jesus' blood dripped down upon the earth as he was on that cross, and the earth shook and there was darkness came over the earth. Can you imagine creation reacting to the blood of its creator dripping down upon it? Amazing, amazing things took place that day. And then God's plan of redemption was not yet complete. Sin had been paid for. The perfect Lamb of God had hung on that cross, but Jesus went into hell to deal with the devil for 3 days and three nights. He gave up his spirit and he died, and he who was made to be sin for us went to hell for 3 days and three nights as our substitute. And at that time, you know, he had cried out on the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? Because he took upon himself the sin nature of man. He actually became sin. So that incredible unity that he had with the Father, the oneness, was gone. He became a sinful man, made to be sin, yet not with his own. He had no sin of his own, but he became separated from God, his Father, with our sin. And there he was in hell for 3 days and three nights. But because he had no sin of his own, death had no legal hold on him. Death could not keep him down. And God raised him from the dead in hell. The Bible says after 3 days and nights, he was made alive by the Spirit in hell. God raised him from the dead, and he took the keys of death and hell, disarming the devil and triumphing over him through it. In Romans 1:4, it says, Jesus was declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. Hallelujah. The resurrection. In fact, the Word of God tells us that if Christ was not raised, we are of all men most miserable. We are still dead and still in our sins. Because Jesus was raised from the dead, we are raised from the dead with him. And we have it now. So when he died on that cross, we died. When he went to hell, we went to hell. When he rose from the dead, when he was raised and rose, we were raised with him. And for those who are getting baptized next weekend, next Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, remember that as you come out of that water, this is your resurrection that you have already taken by receiving Jesus, but this is your symbolic identification with the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. Hallelujah. In Acts 2:36, when Peter was preaching on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit was poured out, and everyone thought they were drunk because they were all speaking in different languages, and everyone heard them in their own tongue. And Peter says, no, this is that was spoken by the prophet Joel. And then he goes in and he talks to them about what had happened, what had been done. I'm just going to read that passage in Acts chapter 2. Peter's sermon. In verse 14, Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to all those that were mocking on the day of Pentecost, men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words. For these are not drunk as you suppose, since it's only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. And then we come on down to verse 36 or verse 21. It will come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands, have crucified and put to death, whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held by it. And then coming down to verse 36. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Hallelujah. He declared him to be the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead. And then in Matthew 28:18, after the resurrection, Jesus appeared many times to many people. At least 12 different times are recorded in the Word where he appeared to different groups of people. And in Matthew 28:18, he said, all power is given to me in heaven and in earth. And the word power there is the Greek word exousia. It means authority. It means authority. And it's the same word that's used in Colossians 1:13 where it says, he has delivered us or rescued us from the power or authority of darkness and transferred us. Transferred means moved from one place to another into the kingdom of the Son of his love. He's rescued us from the power and authority of darkness and transferred us to another place, to the kingdom of the Son of his love. This is what took place when we were born again. In that instant of time, that resurrection took place inside of us, where the old man died and the new creation came by the Holy Spirit, the work of the Holy Spirit, and we became a new creature in Christ, a new creation, a new species of being that had never existed before, a new species of being. Isn't that amazing that there's all these new creatures in Christ in this building today? Think how many there are throughout the world. It's a new species of being that God is populating the planet with to bring his kingdom to the earth, to enforce the victory that Jesus won over the devil. And it says Jesus took the keys of hell and death. And the devil has no power. See, he had authority because Adam gave it to him. Jesus took it back. The Son of God was manifest for this purpose, that he might destroy the works of the devil. He destroyed him who had the power of death. Satan doesn't have the power of death anymore. Don't ever be afraid of death. Don't ever be afraid of death. Sovereign Jesus has taken back all power and all authority in heaven and in earth. And now that we have been rescued and taken out of the authority and the power of darkness, we are to live in the finished work of Christ. And, you know, I think it's great for us to have a refreshing, because life gets all around us. If you're a young mother with kids, I had three under three at one time. It was like a circus and I was the clown. LJ, you've got four. But, you know, Jesus sovereign Jesus has taken back the authority and taken back everything that Adam lost. And now we are to live in that finished work in our everyday lives. If you're a businessman, if you're a student in school, if you're a child, we are to live in the finished work of Christ, of Jesus Christ. We are to live in that in our homes. We're to conduct business in the finished work of Christ. We are to have friendships in the finished work of Christ. We're to rule and reign these bodies. Do you know you have sovereign rule and authority over your mind and your body? Do you know your body is redeemed from sickness and disease? It is redeemed. Now it is redeemed. You say, well, what about this sore back or what about this? I want to tell you, the thief is a liar. And he will come and he will try and make suggestions. It's just a suggestion. It doesn't matter what it is. If it's not more abundant life, it's a suggestion. And you've got to handle that the way Jesus handled the enemy and the way he tells us to in his word. And if we handle it, we will live in the finished work of Jesus Christ. Wholeness, joy, peace, a sound, disciplined mind, joy, strength, you know, blessing, prosperity, abundance. The finished work of Jesus Christ is not poverty, it's not sickness, and it's not spiritual death. We are redeemed from all the devil has and all that he can do. No weapon formed against us will prosper. But it's if you believe it, and it's if you take it, and it's if you say it, and you're going to rule. It says that we are to rule and reign. It says in Romans 5:17, if by one man's trespass, that's Adam, his lapse, his offense, death reigned through that one, much more surely will those who receive God's overflowing grace and the free gift of righteousness reign as kings in life through the one man, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. Hallelujah. This is yours. It belongs to you now. And you say, well, how do I reign in life? You might be a young Christian, a young believer here today, or you might be someone who's been walking with the Lord for years and years and years, and yet you might feel like this has been a bit of a mystery to you. How do you reign in life? So I'm going to try and make it really simple, the simplest. This is what works. Simple's good, right? And it's this, James 4:7. Submit therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. From who? From me? And that word flee means flee as in terror. As in terror. The smallest little child can say no to the devil. And I want to encourage parents in here today. I loved being a mother of young three little girls, and I didn't know everything I know now, but I want to encourage you to bring your children up that when they get hurt, they don't come and ask mummy to kiss it better or put a band-aid on it, that they come and you teach them to say no to pain. No to pain. Get those words flowing out of their mouth like a river while they're young. While they will do it, look at these beautiful children down here in praise and worship. This is the house of God. And they get up here and I'm so moved when I see them every week. They are just in the flow of the Spirit. And, you know, a little child will lead them, right? And this is the day. We're in the last days. We're in the last of the last days. The last days began on the day of Pentecost, and that's 2,000 years ago. We're in the last of the last days. And we know that Jesus is coming back. He's coming back, and he said, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith in the earth? Well, yes, he will. He will at Liberty Family Church. He will find faith here. He will find a people that speak the word. And so when I said James 4:7, submit therefore to God, how do you submit to God? We submit to God by saying yes. Yes to being a new creation. Yes to being redeemed from sickness and disease, from being redeemed from pain. You know, Isaiah 53 says, he bore our sicknesses and carried our pains. That's what the Hebrew means. And pains means mental pain and physical pain. Anxiety is the scourge of the 21st century. And I want to tell you, Jesus bore our pain. When you get pain in your body, when you get distress in your mind, when you get whatever else the devil wants to serve you up, remember it. Call it a suggestion. Say no to it and say yes to the promises of God. It doesn't take, you know, you only need one promise of God. One word. The word of God is living and active and powerful. And when you take the word of God, by his stripes I was healed. When you take the word of God, no weapon formed against me will prosper. When you take the word and you say yes to the word of God, all the promises of God are yes to us. They are there and they are yes to us. When you soak yourself in the word of God and wash yourself in it, those promises get inside you. And when you speak them out your mouth, they become the spoken word of God. They are mixed with faith inside you. The Bible says the word did not profit Israel because it wasn't mixed with faith in those who heard. When you speak the word out of a heart of faith, then it profits you. And God wants you to live in his finished work today. He wants you to say yes to who you are in Christ at a level that you never have. Yes to the promises of God. Add your yes to God's yes. He's waiting for you to add your yes to his yes. Say yes to authority. Yes to wholeness and freedom. Say yes to the cross and the resurrection. Say yes, yes to the word of God. Say it with your mouth. And say no to the devil. Say no to temptation, to sin, to condemnation, to guilt, to sickness, to pain, to a bad report from the doctor. Say no, no, because you have what you say, not what the doctor says. You have what you say. So what do you say? Say no to sickness, pain, and a bad report, to bitterness, strife, unforgiveness, despair, fear, poverty, lack. Say no to the lies of the enemy. He's defeated. I'm going to finish with this, Proverbs 4:23. Watch over your heart with all diligence, because out of it flow the issues of life. Do you know what that word issues means? Boundaries. Out of your heart flow the boundaries of your life. What comes from your heart and flows out your mouth, it's the same word used when God allotted the promised land to the different tribes. He set boundaries. What comes out your mouth will set boundaries in your life. What comes out your mouth will set boundaries in your life. So make sure the boundaries that you're setting are the boundaries of his finished work. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, Father, we commit your word to you. We thank you for the finished work of Jesus. That the life we now live, we live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved us and gave himself for us. We worship you, Jesus. We declare Jesus is Lord. He's Lord. He is Lord. And we thank you. We give you the glory. And we say yes. We say yes to you, to your word, to your finished work, to your promises. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We will have a prayer team down here after the service, and we invite you, if you've never made Jesus Lord of your life, today'd be a good day, wouldn't it? Nothing to lose and everything to gain. Nothing to lose except the bad stuff and everything to gain. So I invite you, or if you've been struggling, you come on down. We've already had healing in this service, but the altar's open for anyone who wants to come. God bless you.